The interviewer asked him if these techniques could be applied to terrestrials. Monat replied that there was no reason why not, but rejuvenation was denied to his own kind for a very good reason, and this also applied to terrestrials. By then, the government censor realized what was happening and cut off the audio, but it was too late.
Later, Levruach said, the American government reported that Monat had misunderstood the question, that his knowledge of English had led him to make a misstatement, but it was too late. The people of America and of the world demanded that Monat reveal the secret of eternal youth.
Which I did not have, said Monat. Not a single one of our expedition had the knowledge. In fact, very few people on my planet had it. But it did no good to tell the people this. They thought I was lying. There was a riot, and a mob stormed the guards around our ship and broke into it. I saw my friends torn to pieces while they tried to reason with the mob.
Reason?
But I did what I did, not for revenge, but for a very different motive. I knew that after we were killed, or even if we weren't, the U.S. government would restore order, and it would have the ship in its possession. It wouldn't be long before terrestrial scientists would know how to duplicate it. Inevitably, the terrestrials would launch an invasion fleet against our world, so to make sure that Earth would be set back many centuries, maybe thousands of years, knowing that I must do the dreadful thing to save my own world, I sent the signal to the scanner to orbit. I wouldn't have had to do that if I could have gotten to the destruct button and blown up the ship, but I couldn't get to the control room. So I pressed the scanner activation button. A short time later, the mob blew off the door of the room in which I had taken refuge. I remembered nothing after that. Brigitte said, I was in a hospital in Western Samoa, dying of cancer, wondering if I would be buried next to Robert Louis Stevenson. Not much chance, I was thinking. Still, I had translated the Iliad and the Odyssey into Samoan. Then the news came. People all over the world were falling dead. The pattern of fatality was obvious. The Tau Ceton satellite was radiating something that dropped human beings in their tracks. The last I heard was that the U.S., England, Russia, China, France, and Israel were all sending up rockets to intercept it, blow it up, and the scanner was on a path which would take it over Samoa within a few hours. The excitement must have been too much for me in my weakened condition. I became unconscious. That is all I remember.
The interceptors failed, Ruach said. The scanner blew them up before they even got close.
Burton thought he had a lot to learn about post-1890, but now was not the time to talk about it.
I suggest we go up into the hills, he said. We should learn what type of vegetation grows there and if it can be useful. Also, if there's any flint we can work into weapons. This old Stone Age fellow must be familiar with stoneworking. He can show us how.
They walked across the mile-broad plain and into the hills. On the way, several others joined their group. One was a little girl, about 7 years old, with dark blue eyes and a beautiful face. She looked pathetically at Burton, who asked her in 12 languages if any of her parents or relatives were nearby. She replied in a language none of them knew. The linguists among them tried every tongue at their disposal, most of the European speeches and many of the African or Asiatic, Hebrew, Hindustani, Arabic, a Berber dialect, Romani, Turkish, Persian, Latin, Greek, Pushtu. Frigate, who knew a little Welsh and Gaelic, spoke to her. Her eyes widened, and then she frowned. The words seemed to have a certain familiarity or similarity to her speech, but they were not close enough to be intelligible.
For all we know, Frigate said, she could be an ancient Gaul. She keeps using the word Guenafra. Could that be her name?
We'll teach her English, Burton said, and we'll call her Guenafra.
He picked up the child in his arms and started to walk with her. She burst into tears, but she made no effort to free herself. The weeping was a relief from what must have been almost unbearable tension and a joy at finding a guardian. Burton bent his neck to place his face against her body. He didn't want the others to see the tears in his eyes. Where the plain met the hills, as if a line had been drawn, the short grass ceased, and the thick, coarse, esparto-like grass, waist-high, began. Here, too, the towering pines, red pines and lodgepole pines, the oaks, the yew, the gnarled giants with scarlet and green leaves, and the bamboo grew thickly.